Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. All right. Well, I am glad that you are here today, and we're going to talk about Jesus being the resurrection and the life. Discover what that means for our lives. If you don't know me, my name is Keith, and I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Truth Community Church. And I mean it, it's an honor to celebrate Jesus with you right now at our 12 p.m. So I want to define this term resurrection so that way we're all caught up and know exactly what it means. And I'm sure you would define it this way too. But a resurrection, very simply, is when something is dead and then it comes back to life. Now, those are important words. Because in order for there to be a resurrection for something, it has to first be dead, right? If it's not dead and it's still breathing or working, then it's not resurrected. It just maybe got a little better. Now, about 2 years ago, I had a 96 Corolla that had over 200,000 miles on it. Do you know where I'm going with this story? So listen, this was like some of my greatest prayers, and you probably have these prayers too. You know your greatest prayers come in the cars that you don't know if they'll work or not, right? So you get in the car, you put one hand on the steering wheel, you put the key in the ignition, but you don't twist yet because you don't know. You say, Lord Jesus, just one more start. Come on, bring life to this. Come on, baby, you can run one more time. And it would just keep going, and there was resurrections that happened from my car. Eventually, it was dead and gone. No, Jesus can't even help that one. And so we moved on there. But today, we're not going to talk about things coming back to life and objects in our lives. And I really want you to understand that when we come into this space, all of us come in, and we can experience the resurrection power of Jesus today. And I know that might seem so far removed because we're singing about his resurrection. We've got this beautiful sign, risen, and we're celebrating that he's alive. But I want you to know it's more than just that. It's more than just what we're going through because it's Easter. We believe that Jesus is in fact real and that him being real and overcoming the grave thousands of years ago makes a difference in our lives today. So to understand this, we're going to read about a man named Lazarus who was a friend of Jesus who died and yet experience the resurrection power of Jesus. So I want to jump right into the middle of this moment and read John chapter 11, verse 25. And I'm going to ask you to read this with me. It says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Those words right there, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, as we read that and we see that, if you're saying right now, I don't understand that, I don't get that, I don't know that I buy into that, listen, you are in good company. Because when Jesus first made this statement, the person he spoke to and the people who were around him, they didn't believe it either. They didn't get it either. In fact, the person that he's talking to, she just didn't know what he was saying. Because before this, see, where John, that's the person who's writing, he was a disciple, chapter 11, verse 25, all through verse 1 to 24, it doesn't make sense for Jesus to declare, I'm the resurrection and the life in this moment. And yet he stands up and he says it, and I'm telling you, that makes a difference. And we're going to discover what that difference is. Now, as we read through this moment in this story, we're going to interact with three different people that we're going to learn from. How these people were dead on the inside and how maybe today we're dead on the inside. Now, I'm super excited because every single one of you are sitting upright. Okay, so we're going to make a deal right now. No one passes out on my watch. Deal? We shake on it? So you're all alive. That's a good thing. And yet, when we come into this space, although we may be alive physically, and you'll agree with me in a few minutes, I believe, there can be parts of us that are dead on the inside. Come on, experiences, our current situation in life, our hopes and dreams that weren't fulfilled, everything we're praying for, everything we're believing for, there can be these things in us that are dead, even though we are upright now. So let's go back to the beginning of this story, John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. I know it's confusing, right? There was three girl names there. There's two sisters. At first time I'm like, where's Bethany? I don't see her in the rest of this story. So we got the city, Bethany, and then Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so here's what happened. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, and here's what they say. Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, in this moment, we don't know the kind of day Jesus is having, but he's probably just having a normal routine day.
We might say he's having a good day. Things are looking up. Things are moving in the right direction. And yet he gets news. He gets a message. One of his friends isn't doing so well. I like to think he got a tweet by a carrier pigeon. Thank you for that pity laugh. Joe's heard it 3 times, so he had to laugh at this point now. Come on, work with me. So he gets this message that says, hey, the one you love is sick. We've gotten that message before. Come on, we've gotten that. You were going through your normal routine. You were having a normal day. And then you get the phone call, hey, it's cancer. You show up to work, hey, it's layoffs. You put everything into your dream marriage only to find out it's a nightmare because of lies and betrayal. But we have those moments where we're moving normally and everything seems good and everything seems fine, but then we get the message, the one you love is sick. Last year around this time, I got that message, the family member. Hey, the one you love is sick. Not on our radar, nothing we expected, nothing we anticipated, and yet it started a journey for our family of news we didn't hope for, we didn't want. So all of us, me too, we have these days where we are moving, but bad news doesn't care. And it's just, hey, here it is, the one you love is sick. And so whether it's cancer or job or marriage or friendship, all of us have these moments where we see this. Now, when Jesus gets this news, he says something very remarkable. He says in John chapter 11, verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, what does he say here? This sickness will not end in death. Now, spoiler alert, Lazarus dies. So I don't know what Jesus is seeing in this story, but we're going to watch with him. So he says, don't worry, sickness isn't going to end in death. No, here's why. And this is the tension, okay? I'm going to introduce more tension. It's for God's glory, so that God's son may be glorified through it. This isn't just something you just throw in a coffee mug and go on smiling with. Put it on a bumper sticker or a t-shirt. Oh, it's okay. God's doing this to bring glory to himself. No, not if you've gotten the bad news. You don't know that you can believe that. If God wants to bring glory, why don't he do it through my neighbor? They're horrible people. Why has he got to pick on me? Right? Like, why do I have to experience this for his glory? And Jesus is introducing the tension that maybe you came in with. The reason why you might not have a relationship with God or doubt he's real is because we ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Come on, why am I facing this? And Jesus begins with this grand statement, but I love it because that's not the end of the story. If it just ended there, have a nice day. You know what? God's going to use it for his glory. Go on and figure that out. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus enters the story. Now, verses 5 to 14, I'm going to summarize for time's sake. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus about Lazarus. And I love it because they're so good at how they write it. They were women, okay? Guys wouldn't think this way. They're sitting down and they're like, okay, we got to get him to know. Don't just say Lazarus, say the one you love. Like, we got to play on him. No, it's not Jerry, Jesus. This is Lazarus. This is the one you love. You know, Judas, you wouldn't show up for him. This is the one you love. And so they send this message out. What does Jesus do? Nothing. Seriously, for 2 days, Jesus does nothing. He gets the message and he does nothing. I like to say it this way. While everyone back home is freaking out, Jesus is hanging out. Jesus is just chilling. He's like, listen, I got the message, and they're just hanging out there. Now, where the village of Bethany was the area of Judea. So that's where the sisters are, where Lazarus had died. And now in Judea, Jesus had just come from there, and there were people who hated him there. They didn't like his message. They didn't like his miracles. They wanted to kill him. And so Jesus and his disciples leave Judea. They're where they are now. They get a message from the sisters. The one you love is sick. You know, do something about it. Jesus chills for 2 days. And then he says to his disciples, hey, we got to go to Judea. Lazarus is sleeping. I need to wake him up. And the first pushback they have is, no, we're not going to Judea. We just left Judea. We barely got you out of there, Jesus. Remember, we are not going back to Judea. They're going to kill you there. And besides, if Lazarus is sleeping, that's good. Like, you should sleep when you're sick, Jesus. And he goes, no, you understand. He's dead. I got to go wake him up. Now, this is where we're going to meet the first of our 3 people in the story that we're going to discover how we die on the inside. So we're going to talk about Thomas. We're going to talk about Mary. We're going to talk about Martha. So when Jesus makes this statement, I've got to go back to Judea, the first one to really speak up is Thomas. You may know him as, do you know his name? Doubting Thomas, right? Could you imagine If you make it into the Bible and your nickname is Doubting Thomas, what a letdown. It's like, if I'm going to go in the Bible, give me something strong like Brilliant Keith or something. Doubting Thomas, that's what you're going to be known as. Because look, Thomas shows us how you can be dead in your doubts. Look at the first thing Thomas says after Jesus says, let's go to Judea. He says in verse 16, then Thomas, also known as Didymus. Let's say that together, Didymus. I had you do that because it's fun. I think this is the first reference to a rapper. Before Kanye was Didymus. Jesus walks, right? Now here I am, I'm Didymus. And so he said to the rest of the disciples, this is what Didymus, this is what Doubting Thomas says. All right, let us go, so faith-filled, that we may die with him. So Thomas's bars are sarcastic. He's just like, if I'm going to write a song, it's going to be laced with sarcasm and doubt. Because he's like, all right, guys, Lazarus is dead. Jesus, they tried to kill you back there. So you know what? Fine. Let's all go. We're going to die. Come on, everybody. Let's go die with Jesus. That's Thomas. There's a part of him that's dead in his doubts. And today, whatever your life looks like and whatever situations you're facing or have faced, can we be honest right now? You could raise your hand. Have you ever had a spiritual doubt before? Right, hands are going up. And if your hands are down, man, you got a shiny halo. That's all I'll say. We all have spiritual doubts, right? Come on, we all have spiritual doubts. You're here today and you still don't know if God is real, but you're here and that's awesome. And we come into this space, we don't come in with 100%, I'm sure this thing, I'm sure. No, you're coming in and there is a part of you that could be doubting today, but that part of you is killing you. And however that doubt surfaced, maybe you had faith as a child and then you grew up and you started experiencing some adult conversations and you went to school or you met someone and they asked you a question that took your faith and demolished it. Maybe you had an experience where you prayed, you believed, you even anointed someone, you claimed every promise and God didn't show up. And now there's doubt. Maybe you've been holding on for a relationship to be restored and God's not working. So you doubt. All of us can experience spiritual doubt. And when we have doubt in our hearts, there's a part of us that's dead. Thomas shows us that. Now, if you don't connect with doubting, maybe you'll connect with Mary. Mary was dead in her discouragement. You ever been discouraged before, right? Mary is here. She's dead in her discouragement. Mary's the one that's saying, why can't I catch a break? Why can't something good happen to me? Why do we have to go through this? And everything, and life just keeps beating her up, and now her brother's dead. And look at what happens when Martha heard that Jesus was coming. So after he delays and after he finally comes, she goes out to meet him. We'll talk about Martha, but look at Mary. Mary stayed at home. Mary's got this question. Why bother? It's too late. I'm discouraged. Why bother? Maybe you're working a job that's just, it seems dead end to you. It seems so beneath you. You have so much more potential. And every day you wake up and you're reminded, I'm bigger than this, I'm greater than this, and I'm discouraged. Maybe you've been hoping for a relationship and it's not happening and you're discouraged. You're setting off for college or for schooling and you're trying to get doors to open up and nothing's working and you're discouraged. And if you've ever been in that place, you know how dead that feels. You don't want to leave the house. You don't want to be around people. You don't want to eat. You can't sleep right, right? Been there. You just don't want people around you. You're discouraged. And that's where Mary finds herself. And there's a part of her that's dead. And the last person we see is Martha. And Martha was dead in the delay. This one, I think we all at some point will relate to if you haven't already. Where you're holding on and you're hoping and you're believing and yet God seems absent. And God's not coming through. And you thought by now life would be different or this situation would be taken care of. And in the delay, there's a part of you that starts to die. See, look at when Jesus arrived. Remember, he chilled for a couple days. Then he had to walk a couple days. So it says in John 11:17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb, let's say this together, for 4 days. That matters. Because in this day, in this culture, it wasn't a Bible-based belief. It was more a superstition. But people believed that when someone died, their spirit would stay around their body for a couple days. Again, it's not in the Bible. God didn't teach this. It's just folklore and superstitions. And so they would believe that the spirit would remain around the body until day 4. Once you pass day 3, the spirit's like, I'm out. There's nothing, I'm done. I'm going on to greener pastures. I'm out of here. And so that matters. Because Jesus could have came on day one, day two, day three, but now it's day four. The delay has been so great that Martha just can't handle it anymore. In fact, when Jesus eventually gets to the point where he says he's going to do something, Martha pushes back. And I love this in the King James. This is as strong as it gets, guys. We read that Martha says this. No, he stinketh. Come on. It doesn't get worse than when you stinketh. Okay, like you might stink, you might be stanky, it might be like, but when you get to stinketh level, that's a new ground. And so Martha's like, no, you don't get it. You delayed too long. He stinketh, Jesus. Spirit's gone. Should have showed up on day one, two, or three. Now there's no hope. Look what she says in verse 21. She shows us. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had, you ever said that? If you had, God, if you've been here, then my brother would not have died. And I believe that in this space right now, in our online family, you're living in the delay. You're waiting. You've been praying for people that you love to be healed. They're not. You've been hoping that your family members or friends would understand Jesus as their Savior, and they're not. Maybe for you, you're single and you're looking for a healthy, godly relationship, and you're waiting. You're watching everyone else get married except you. You're hoping to have a child. And everyone else around you is having babies. Chew the baby. See, it works. Perfect. Right? Everyone else. You good. Everyone else. There's babies everywhere. All I see is babies. You should be where I am right now. It's crazy. So everyone's having babies. And you're like, how about me? Why not me? Come on. In the delay, when we wait, there's opportunity for us to die. But it doesn't have to be that way. Let me speak directly to the delay. God's delays are not his denials. Amen. I agree with that, and I need that promise. Because his delays are not his denials. Don't let the enemy lie to you to think just because it hasn't happened yet means it's not going to happen ever. Our God's bigger than that. And so if you're in a holding pattern right now and you're waiting for like the landing to happen, you're in a delay season. Here's opportunity for a part of you to die. God has not denied it yet. I had this opportunity just after this service, this past one. So my kids have been down. They're staying for all 9, 10, 30, 12, which means they get to do 3 egg hunts. Yes, lots of sugar. So after one of them, Nate, my son, was like, Dad, can I have some of this candy? And I was like, not yet, bud. Just have one piece, not yet. Now, I did that for the sake of his teachers, to be honest. Because I know if he gets jacked up on sugar, they're going to lose their minds downstairs. But I delayed him. It's not a denial. And truthfully, I'm hoping to eat his candy. So part of it is a little bit of a denial. Go out there and get the eggs, son. Bring them to Dad. We'll count them. Parent tax. But here's what it is. If we're in a moment where God is delaying and where you are holding on, there is opportunity for you to die there. I know it. There is. But you don't have to. Because the resurrection and the life is a part of the story. And so this is so cool. Look at this. All up until verse 21, we are seeing all these negative things happen. We've got doubting Didymus. I think that's better. So doubting Diddy, he's over here. He doesn't believe. And then you've got Martha. She's just like, he stinketh. And you've got Mary. She can't even get out of the house. All of this is over here, okay? Now watch. Up until verse 21, but we're about to read a pivot. Hey, we're here, and we're facing everything that's wrong, all these things, but if we will just pivot, watch what happens in verse 22. We see a pivot happen, because Martha goes on, and she says, this is big, but I know. So she just got done saying, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. If you showed up, he wouldn't be stinking. All of this, but I know, let's say these words, that even now, God will give you whatever you ask for. She's saying, even now. Verse 22 is a pivot verse. For so many of us, we're dead in our doubts and our discouragement and in the delay. But what we need to do is we need to pivot over. And we need to declare, even now. Yes, I'm facing all of this. Yes, it is dead and gone. Yes, it stinketh. It's been 4 days. There seems like there's no hope. But if I can just pivot and I can just believe, even now, resurrection and the life, that God will give you what you ask for. I believe it. And so if you're facing a dead situation and you've got a dead relationship, or you've got a dead career, or you're dead on the inside because of your sin, or you're disconnected from God. Listen, even now, and you know how I know this is true? Because right now you're a part of a resurrection. You don't even know it. Let me tell you. You right now in this room, in our online family, you are experiencing resurrection and life. This building's been here since 1968. And I was talking to a few people who have been around this building since like that period, and others who were here just 4 years ago. And there was no resurrection in life. And now, I'm telling you, just in this space and in our community, Truth Community Church, we're seeing a community is being changed by the resurrection and the life. That we can clap and celebrate that, because there are organizations that are being impacted by your generosity. There are homeless community that are finding a place to sleep. There are people that hated each other. Now they have to like each other because they both go to the same church. Seriously, it's like, I'm watching, it's so funny when I see like people come in like, oh, you're here, you're my neighbor. I don't like that guy, but I gotta sit next to him now. It's the coolest thing. That's the resurrection and the life that's happening. That in this space right now, all different people, all different stories, all different races coming together and saying, no, we want to experience the resurrection and the life. It doesn't get better than that. And a community is being impacted. Personally, today, you can experience the resurrection and the life. Say this with me again. Even now, even now, even now, if you're discouraged, do you know that Jesus is your joy? That even now, if you feel alone, he is your comforter. That even now, if you financially are feeling burdened and weighed down and there are stacks this big, he's your provider. That even now, if you're praying for sickness, that he is your healer. That even now, if you're holding on for relationships, he is your restorer. And that if our hearts are cold and callous from this world and from this life and they feel dead, he is the resurrection and the life. And today, April 21st, is a day for you to move from dead to alive. It's a day for you to pivot. It's a day for you to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. So Jesus says to Martha that he's the resurrection and life. We go to verse 23. He says, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus isn't waiting for the last day. He's like, no, I'm here now. Like, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And here's the question. Do you believe this? Now, what I love about what Jesus does there is he does not say that he is able to resurrect Lazarus. He doesn't say, don't worry, I've got this. I've got the power to do something. What does he say? I am the resurrection and the life. Don't miss it. It's not just what he does. It is who he is. That's the resurrection and the life. The resurrection is not an event. It is a person. We are celebrating Easter and Resurrection Sunday, but what we're celebrating isn't a day. We're celebrating a person. We're celebrating Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. And that's why he's able to bring us to life. Because when a person walks into a space, the room changes. And when Jesus walks into your life, dead things can't stay dead anymore. You can't have dead and Jesus at the same time. So if you've got doubts and you feel discouraged and you're in a delay right now, Jesus is the resurrection and the life that you need. Fast forward in the story. Gets to Lazarus' grave. Look what he says. Take away the stone. And then, I like this. Jesus called out in a loud voice. How loud do you think you got to shout to have a dead person hear you, right? So Jesus is just, Lazarus, come out. And here we see the dead man came out, and his hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of linen. He's bound by what's killed him, and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes. Let him go. Today, I've been praying for you. Jesus is saying the same thing. Let's get the grave clothes off them. Let's let them go. Come on, they don't got to be dead no more. Come on, I'm ready to take this away. I'm ready to bring resurrection and life power to you. Now, what's so great, if you contrast this with Easter. So we're celebrating Easter. Jesus dies on Friday, and then he's buried. And on Sunday morning, some women are going to go to the tomb because he stinketh. So they want to freshen it up. So they've got their essential oils. They got their Fabuloso. They've got Febreze. They're just ready. They've got candles. They're going to make this smell at least a little better than it does right now. But they forgot one thing, and this is the question. Hey, who's going to roll the stone away? We got all this stuff, but when we get there, there's a giant stone blocking the tomb. Like, how are we actually going to get in? I don't know. We'll just spray around it. We'll figure it out. But then they show up, and you know what? Stone's gone. Stone's been rolled. And who was it when Lazarus died that spoke and gave the command? Jesus. Jesus was the one to say, roll that stone away. See, Jesus has rolled the stone away. And in your life, if you are dead in your doubt or you're dead in discouragement or dead in the delay, Jesus alone has the command to say, no, let's roll that stone away. You feel trapped on the inside of a tomb like you're dying? Well, Jesus is able to say, no, come on out. Come to me. How can he say that? Because he took what's killing you to the cross, left it there, and then overcame the grave. And only someone who overcomes the grave can give the command, come on out. Come on out. I have life for you. I'm the resurrection. Come to me. Now, I don't want to sell you something that's not real, okay? If you make a pivot, and you're now coming to Jesus, and you're believing even now, on this side, it's not all no problems, no issues. It's not like you get on this side and your hair's not going to fall out no more, praise Jesus. Every scratch off's a winner, praise God. And all my relationships are fixed, and nothing goes wrong. No, that's not what it looks like on this side after you pivot. But here's what it does. See, when you pivot, God is always glorified by what happens back here. God is always glorified by what happens before verse 22. Why? Because he is that good. So look at this. You're here right now, and we're dead in the delay. We're dead in discouragement and denial. And Jesus is saying, come on out. Come on out. Okay, I'm going to pivot, and even now. And now this stuff's going to come with me. And as I'm following Jesus, oh, that makes sense now in light of Jesus. Oh, I understand how you're going to glorify yourself through that. Oh, I get what you were doing there. You had a plan all along. But I couldn't see it because I was so fixed on it and I was dead. But now that I'm facing you, Jesus, and now that you've called me to come out, and now that the grave clothes are gone and my hands are untied, I get it. You're glorified in this. That's what it means to live with the resurrection and the life. Man. But here's the biggest thing that kills us. It's our sin. Here's what the gospel is. If you've heard the word the gospel before, we believe that with the gospel, we are dead in our sin. That's the bad news. And yet the good news is that Jesus is alive. So every single one of us, even me without knowing you, I'm not going to offend you in this. It's just fact, and you'll agree with me. We all sin. What that means is we all take God's principles and his commands, and we break them. We go against them. I do it. You do it. And every time we do, we hurt ourselves. We hurt people around us. And ultimately, we hurt God. And that sin leads to death. And yet Jesus dies on the cross. And Paul says our sinful passions were nailed to the cross. And then he overcomes the grave so that we might be made new. That's the good news. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. He's calling out to us today. We're going to respond to that call. He says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever opens the door for me will have life. That's Jesus' call to you today, that if you are dead in your doubt, dead in discouragement, or dead in the delay, Jesus is calling you. Amazing. And I want to pray for you. So would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this space right now and every person here. I thank you for our online family. I pray, Lord, that you will begin to do a work inside each person. As we continue to pray and our heads are bowed, I want to ask you this. I believe that each one of us, we can identify with we're dead in our doubts, we're dead in the delay, or we're dead in our discouragement. And I would love the opportunity to pray with you and for you right now. I'm not going to make you stand or come to the front of the room or anything. I just want to be able to pray with you and connect with you. And so if that's where you're landing, you say, Pastor Keith, would you pray for me? There's a part of me that I know it's dead. I doubt. There's a part of me that I know it's dead. I'm discouraged. There's a part of me that I just know there's something dead inside of me. Because I'm waiting and the delay is just killing me. Right now, would you raise your hand so I can pray with you? And all in this space, hands going up everywhere. Just, amen. Just want to pray with each person right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those with their hands up. They're or being honest before you and just saying, there's a part of me that's dead. I doubt, I'm discouraged. There's a delay. There's just inside of me, I'm not fully alive. And so God, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, by Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, that today they would begin to pivot and move and believe that even now with what they're facing, you are greater still. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You continue praying just with your heads bowed. Because the question that Jesus asked Martha, he asks us today. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. And then he says, do you believe this? And this is one of the biggest questions that we answer in our lives. Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do we believe that he is Lord and Savior? Do we actually believe that we are sinners who need Jesus to be our rescuer? And today I want to give you opportunity to make a starting point in your faith and your life. Or maybe you've never confessed your sin to God. You've never asked him to forgive you. You've never said, Jesus, be the Lord and Savior of my life. Make me new. That today is a day where you literally are going to move from being dead in your sin to alive in Jesus. And I want to celebrate with you and give you opportunity to declare, I want Jesus to be my Lord. So again, in this space, if that's where you land and you say, I want Jesus to be my Savior, just raise your hand right now as a sign to say, God, here I am. Amen. Hands going up. People saying, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I don't want to be alone anymore. I'm going to ask you to pray with me in church. Join in. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. I believe that Jesus died and he is risen so I could be forgiven. Fill me with your Spirit so I can follow you. Thank you for new life. Thank you for everything. Today I give you my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Church, let's celebrate together because people just put their faith in God, a starting point to say, I want to follow him.